Okay, today's daf is Chulin Daf Zayin. We are holding on Daf Vav Amud Beis. We are at Heid Rabbi Yeshua ben Zoruz ben Chamav Shlomo Meir, about halfway down the page on Daf Vav Amud Beis, and we're going to first talk about how Rabbi Meir ate what appeared to be an untithed vegetable from a place called Beis Shan, and the Gemara is going to discuss the ramifications of that. Does that mean that Beis Shan is not part of Eretz Yisrael? And we're going to talk about what other explanations there could be for why Rabbi Meir ate this untithed vegetable. And part of this is a part of the discussion is going to be about HaKadosh Baruch Hu not being maybe takala al yidei tzadikim, that it can't be that a tzadik ate something that's usher. So that's going to be something that comes up again. And then we're going to tell the background to the story of how we know that afilu behemtan shel tzadik mein HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe takal al yadam, and that's the story of the chamoro shel Pinchas ben Yair. So the Gemara is going to tell the long version of the story of what exactly happened with the donkey of Pinchas ben Yair to the point that we said that you see from him, from that chamor, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not maybe takala al yidei behemtan shel tzadikim, and it's going to tell a whole story around it relating to Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair and some of his midas chasidus and some of his tzidkus and the miracles that he was able to do and his interactions with Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And the Gemara is going to talk about how Rabbi Yehuda Anasi had white donkeys and how that was very problematic for Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, and how this was a problem that could not be solved because these were dangerous creatures. And then the Gemara is going to tell us how tzaddikim are even greater b'misasan than they are b'chayehem. We're going to prove that that's the case. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to have a little bit about ein od milvado, that if a person thinks that a person has absolute emuna, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of everything, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in fact in control of everything, and no other forces can hurt him, including the forces of kishuv. So let's begin. We're at Vavam Beis, about halfway down the page. Last one line is Hayid. Says the Gemara, Hayid Rabbi Yeshua ben Zoruz ben Chamav Shlomo Meir. Rabbi Yeshua ben Zoruz, it's important who it is that's being made. Rabbi Yeshua ben Zoruz, the son of the Chamav Shal Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir's father-in-law was made, Lefnei Rabbi, in front of Rabbi, Al Rabbi Meir, about Rabbi Meir, Sha'achal Allah Shal Yerek Bebeis Shaner. A Meir ate an Allah Shal Yerek, a leaf of a vegetable in Beis Shan, and apparently without taking Trumas or Maisos, he just ate it. Vihita Rabbi is Beis Shan Kula Al Yado. So based on that Eidos, Rabbi was ready to be Matir in the entire Beis Shan to eat its Yerakos and the Peros Ilan that came from there, because it's not part of Eretz Yisrael. If you look at Rashi, as Beis we're assuming that this is not part of Eretz Yisrael. Now the truth is that there is such an inyan of Meiser in Chutz Laaretz, but that's only midrabanan, and that only applies to Meiser Dagan, to grains. Why? Because what do you have to take Meisers from Mida Oraisa in Eretz Yisrael? Dagan Tirosh, and that's it. Peros, Ilan, and Yerakos, you don't have to take Maisos Mida Oraisa. It's only Mida Rabbanan in Eretz Yisrael. And then, if you're going to talk about any Maisos in Chutz Laaretz, it's Rabbanan, so we're not going to make a double Rabbanan. Avol Maisos Yerek, Dvaretz Gufei Rabbanan, Logos Midi B'Chutz Laaretz. When you're dealing with something that itself, even in Eretz Yisrael, would only be Mida Rabbanan, there is no Gzera whatsoever in Chutz Laaretz, and something that even in Eretz Yisrael would only be Mida Rabbanan. So that's a Rebbe who's Matir Beis Shan Kula based on this Eidos. Chivra Lava Chivu Beis Aviv Amelam Makum Shavasach Avavos Avasach Anag Bo Isser Ata Tinag Bo Heter. So they started asking, what do you mean? Everyone was always knowing Isser in Beis Shan, and now you're going to come up and you're going to be knowing Heter? How can you go against so many years of tradition? So Darash Shalahen Mikra Zai, he darshined the following pasuk to explain why he's allowed to go against the tradition of generations who were knowing Isser, because the pasuk says, V'ki that He destroyed the Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, destroyed the Nechash and Nechoshes that was around from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Bnei Yisrael were being maktir to it. They were calling it Nechushta, and they were treating it like an Avodah Zarah. So he got rid of it. You could ask the same kash on Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. Efshar ba asa v'lo biyaro, ba Yoshafat v'lo biyaro. What, there were no tzaddikim in between the times of Moshe Rabbeinu and your times, that you're the first one that comes up with this chap, that you should destroy it? Halo kol Avodah Zarah Shavol. Us and Yoshavet Biarum. Us and Yoshavet spent their entire lives destroying Avodah Zarah. So if this was really a problem of an Avodah Zarah, wouldn't they have done it? Now you have to assume that there was place left. His father's left over a little bit of the job for him. That the forefathers left a little bit something for him to do. So me too. Even though there were no Gisr in Beis Shan, I could be no Gheter in Beis Shan. They left me some room to make new halachos or to change how we are noheg with regard to Beis Shan. Mikan Talmud Chacham Shamer Dvar Halacha Shein Mazichno. So from here you see, if a Talmud Chacham says the Dvar Halacha, we are not Maziachim. Varmila in Maznichino. So some say, no, we're not Mazniachim. Varmila in Maschichino. So they were not Maschiachim. What's the difference between Maziach, Mazniach, Maschiach? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi writes, Mikan, Sharinu Shekibel Rebbe Eduzuv, Lamine Men, from the fact that Rebbe was Makabal this Eduz about Rameir. And he derived from there that now we have to be Matir in the entire Beis Shan. Even though on the surface it seems like a very strange behavior, they were always knowing Yisr in Beis Shan. So when we see from there that when a Talmud Chacham says something, you can't say, no, you must be mistaken, you're wrong. This was a Talmud Chacham that was reporting in the name of Rabbi Meir that this is what happened. You have to accept it. So what do the words mean? Ein mazichin, first says Rashi, means ein mavdilin oso mishmoaso lemer chazorbach. It means we do not separate him from the teaching that he's trying to say to try to get him to back out. We can't say, oh, we don't like what you're saying. It seems odd to us, and therefore you must change your mind. Maznichin means mishaktsim estivarev. To say, feh, that this is disgusting, what he's saying now is terrible, right? To put down what he's saying. Maschichin means, lomar ga'avascha garmalach, shalitisa ozen l'shmo davar kilchaso mipi rabcha, to accuse him of gaiva, that you're saying these new things that we never heard before, you're a bal gaiva to come up with these new things. When a Talmud Chacham says something, you cannot do any of these, you cannot make any of these accusations or try to influence him in these ways. Lishna achrina magbinu mesalkino samidvarv. Another explanation of Maschichin is that yes, it relates to elevating, but not saying that you are falsely elevated in the sense that you are a Balgaiva, but trying to lift off of him this teaching, to try to say that you have to disassociate with that which you are saying right now. So Mandi Amar Maschichin, the one that says Maschichin, Kidichsev lo Yizach HaChoshen, that the Choshen never moved and never removed itself from the Ephod. Mandi Amar Ein Maschichin, Dichsev Kilo Yizna. That Hashem is never disgusted with the Jewish people. When people became Balei Gaiva, that's where Machlokas started creeping into Klal Yisrael. That's a Lashon of Gova Lev. That was that's how Machlokas really got going. The Mishnah Meseches Chagiga on Daf Tezayin tells us what the first Machlokas was in Klal Yisrael's Mishnah. It was Rabbu Machlokas we saw, but the very first Machlokas was from the way earlier generations of the Tanaim relating to Smicha on the Shalmei Chagiga. That was a question whether one is supposed to do Smicha on Yom Tov or not. Smicha on the Behemos on the Shalmei Chagiga on Yom Tov or not. That was the original Machlokas, but then when people became Balei Gaiva, so they assumed that they understood everything and they didn't need to look as carefully, so that's where Machlokas started to. The proliferation of machlokas really began. That's what the Gemara is suggesting over here. Now, a couple of things. Makom iniach lo avosav liz gaderbo is an interesting concept, that the earlier generations didn't do it because they left a little room for the later generations. Is that on purpose? That they dafka? There were things that had to be done, rules that had to be made, halachos that had to be taught, and they dafka didn't because they were leaving room? That's what it makes it sound like. Himichlu Avosav. And you do find poskim use this in Shelas Yavitz in Chelik Beis in Kufiyah Dalid. There was a person who asked a shayla. He was Yorish a menorah that his father had had, and the menorah had all sorts of tsuros on the menorah, and all sorts of images, and he left the images there, even though the Shulchan Aruch says in Yodeh Simen Kuf Mem Aleph that you're not allowed to leave a kli sheyesh bo tsuros. The Dafka talks about a kli that has all these three dimensional images on it, and the Rabbi Yaakov Emden said that even though this menorah belonged to your father, and your father was a wonderful person and everything, in our sugya we see beferish that they left you some room to go even further. That if you know that that's the halacha, so even though it could have been done earlier, but still, how do we make sense of it? Why didn't Aslan Yoshafat, for example, destroy the Nechasha and Nechoshes if it was Taka and Avodah Zarah? So Rashi says, Kishiyavo b'neinu achreinu, if they don't find what sort of gedarim to make, how are our children ever going to make a name for themselves if we don't leave them anything to do? So the Marsha says, Pashtos of Rashi is that Asan Yoshafat Dafka left the Nechash and Nechoshes and did not destroy it so that their offspring will have what to elevate themselves with through doing something really good. The Maram also assumes that that's Rashi, but the Marsha says, even though it's a Pashtos of Rashi, says Marsha, it can't be. How could it be that they allowed Klal Yisrael to continue to do Avodah Zarah so that my children should make a name for themselves? And furthermore, says Marsha, and how do you know who your children are going to be such great tzaddikim? Who told you your children are going to, maybe you know how your children are going to make a name for themselves? They're going to be Ovid Avodah Zarah, because you left an Avodah Zarah for them to be Ovid. How do you know that this is all going to work out? So the Marsha writes that Rashi must mean that they didn't do it b'kavana, that they didn't realize it. Min HaShemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that the previous generations didn't already solve all the world's problems. They didn't already take care of everything. And also by Beis Shan, they didn't realize the Rebbe's forefathers didn't realize the mistake that they were making. So it was min HaShemayim that Rebbe should be able to come up with this geder. The Maharam is medayik from Tosos in Dibra Maskel Ella that Asan Yoshafat made the mistake and they thought that it was Asr to be Meva'er because the Nechash and Nechoshes was made al pi adibur. So it wasn't that they dafka left room for the future generations, even though this was something that had to be taken care of. They thought that they were not allowed to take care of. Pnei Aryeh has an entirely different approach. He suggests that there was no chiyuv even to be mevar in the Nechoshes mitzad atzmo because it didn't belong to those who were worshipping it, and therefore it itself does not become aser because the basic rule is in Avodah Zarah ein adam oser davar she'eino shelav. It doesn't belong to you, you can't aser it. It was only because it was a michshol for those who were worshipping it that it needed to be destroyed. But in the Doros of Asa and Yoshafat, it was galut the Fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if they were to destroy it, then those who were being oved it would just be oved the Shemesh Yareach, other things, and therefore there was no toelas in being mevayer it, meaning there's no inherent mitzvah in being mevayer it because it didn't have a shame of a tzarah. No one has the right to aser a davar she'eino shelav. The only reason to destroy it is because the ultimate toelas that others will not, that now people will no longer worship it. But it wasn't going to help those people anyway in those generations because they were just looking for something to worship and they would have worshipped something else. That's what Penaria suggests, and that's why it was only in the generation of Chizkio that it was actually a toelas to destroy the Nechash and Nechoshes. Okay, so says the Gemara further now. Maskefla Yehuda Breda Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi. Umikal Man Yamar De Beis Shan Lav Me'Eretz Yisraeli. Is there anyone that holds that Beis Shan is not part of Eretz Yisrael? V'aksi V'lo Horish Menashe Es Beis Shan Res Menoseha Ves Tanach Res Menoseha. That Menashe was not Morish Beis Shan Ves Menoseha. So says Mar Ishtamite Hadam Rabbi Shimon Ben Eliyakim Mishum Rav Lozer Ben Pedas Sham Mishum Rav Lozer Ben Shemua. Harbe Krachum Kavshum Ole Mitzrayim Lo Kavshum Ole Bavel. There are a number of places that the Ole Mitzrayim conquered, but they didn't reconquer when they were Ole Bavel and they came back from Golus Bavel. The Kasavar, and we're working with the assumption, Kedusha Rishon Kitchel Shaita Velo Kitchel Asal Bavel, that when the Ole Mitzrayim went and conquered, that Kedusha is not an everlasting Kedusha. So whatever was not reconquered by the Ole Bavel loses its Kedusha Saritz Yisrael. And they left it aside not to reconquer it, not to give it Kedusha, so that the Aniyim will have what to rely on during Shemitah year, meaning the poverty was such that they needed as much as many possible areas where Aniyim could get from, so they left it so that Aniyim would be able to be samech on it during Shemitah. So Amalei Rabbi Yemalei Rabbi Zeir v'Rameir Allah b'Alma Huda Achil says, but wait a second, Rameir he just ate an Allah, he ate a leaf, that's an Achilas Arai. Achilas Arai is mutter even in Eretz Yisrael, so how can you be medayik from the fact that Rameir or ate this Allah in Beishan? Ah, Beishan must be Chutz Laretz. And Achilas Arai, you could eat from Tevel. So how do you know that it's Chutz Laretz? Maybe it's Eretz Yisrael. And it was just mutter. Amalei me'aguda achle. No, the report was that he ate it from an aguda, from a bundle of vegetables. Utnan yerek ha'negad mishayegad. That a vegetable that is bound together, that is bunched together, and that's the way it's sold. From when it's bunched, that's when it becomes tevel, and therefore it's hukva lemaisa at that point, and it would be aser ba'achilas arai. So if Rameir ate even just an achilas arai, but it was already ne'agad, then it must be that it was in chutz la'aretz. V'dilma lavadaite, says the Gemara, and this is why we're bringing the whole story. Maybe Rameir just made a mistake. He didn't realize that the vegetable that he was eating was tevel, and that Beishan had a status of Eretz Yisrael, and it was problematic what he was doing. He wasn't paying such careful attention. Says Mar, can't be. If even the behemoth of tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not going to bring takal al yadam, a tzaddik can't possibly put something that's not kosher in his mouth. So there's no way Rameir ate tevel. It just can't be. Says Gemara, okay, but maybe it wasn't tevel. The dilma iser aleim mimakom acher. Maybe he did take maestros from somewhere else. Meaning what? What did you see? You saw Rameir eat a vegetable, and you saw that he didn't take maestros before he ate it. But maybe he took maestros somewhere else, and it covered all of these vegetables as well. Says Gemara, lo nechshdu chaverim litrom shalom en amukav. We do not suspect that that's what happened, because chaverim are not mafrish shalom en amukav. When you're mafrish shumus and maestros, you have to be mafrish from the immediate vicinity. So it can't be that he was mafresh somewhere else to cover this. The Rambam writes in the Perush HaMishnayos in Demai that a chaver is a Talmud Chacham. He says Talmud Chacham is called chaverim. They're called chaverim because they're a chaver ne'emana. It's a chaver l'shem shemayim. The Mishnah in Demai tells us that someone who's mekabel of lios ne'eman, he's ma'aser shu ochel veshu mocher veshu lokech. If he's mekabel lios Chaver, he's eno mocher la'amaretz lach v'yavesh. And the Rambam and the Bar Tanur explains Ne'aman is with regard to Trumas v'maisros, that we believe him when he says that this is gemaisr and this is not mu'usar, and his peros are not demai. Chaver is even about, is a higher level than just Trumas v'maisros, is someone we trust even for Tuma and Tahara as well. So it's not only about Ne'amanos of Trumas v'maisros. So Chaver is not going to be mafresh shalom and amukov. There is a machlokus Rishonim for why it is that it's aser to be Torim Shalom and Amukav. Rashi writes that we're choshesh that maybe the peros that you're somech on are no longer in existence. Maybe they got lost or they got rotted. So it turns out that you're not really doing anything. You're eating tevel. Meaning, what are you saying? This vegetable I want to eat should be okay because I have vegetables back home. Let those vegetables back home be the trumas and maestros for this. Yeah, maybe the vegetables back home got burnt in a fire. Maybe they're all rotted. Maybe they don't exist. So that's why we're not Torem Shalom and Amukav. Unless everything is right in front of you and you see what everything's current status, you cannot be Mafresh Shalom and Amukav. Tosos and the Rush ask on this from the Mishnah in Gittin Daf Lamed. The Mishnah in Gittin says it could be Mafresh Alein B'cheska Shein Kayamin. So apparently we're not worried Shema Nevdu, Shema Yirkavu, that the things are lost or rotted. So Tosos and the Tosos HaRosh both explain that it's a Gezeres HaKasuv. You don't need a reason. Pasuk says by Trumas Meiser V'harimosem Mimenu, and the Sifri Darshans and the Yerushalmi Darshans Mimenu Min HaMukav. So it's a Gezeres HaKasuv. You don't need any Tam for this halacha. But anyway, so says Gemara, but still, how do you know what Rav Meir was doing? V'dilma nosen enav b'tzadzeh va'achol b'tzad acher. Maybe he was nosen enav. He focused on one side as the Trumas HaMaisos and had in mind that that should be the Trumas HaMaisos, and in order to cover the other side. So they have to pay attention to who was telling the story about Rav Meir. It was Rabbi Yeshua, the Ben Chama, Shalla Rabbi Meir. So he was an Adam Gadol. You can't just come up with our own explanation of the story if an Adam Gadol told the story and clearly understood it in a certain way. Meaning he was clearly telling us, Rav Meir ate min hayarek, that was not Ma'usar. So you can't start saying, oh, maybe he didn't investigate enough. If it was Stamina Maritza was telling the story, yeah. So you could say there are 15 different explanations of what could have happened. But it's a Gavra Rabba that told the story. Who the person that tells the story is very important as well. Rav Shechter has three svarim of Hanhagos of Rav Soloveitchik, and he just, many of the Hanhagos, he says he doesn't know the stories firsthand. People told him the story. So he writes in the introduction to one of the svarim, I think in the third one, Divrei Harav, that you got to pay careful attention to who he's quoting, because sometimes it's a Gavra Rabba, sometimes it's not. So you could take it with a grain of salt, depending on how great the person is that's telling the story, because a lot of times the Hanhagos of Nadam Gadol, people who are not themselves of a certain caliber, don't really understand the Hanhagos of the Adam Gadol. They're interpreting it in their own way. So that's this idea. Chazim man Gavra Rabba, kamaser alei. That you look at a Gavra Rabba and you see how that such testimony means something. Okay, says Gemara, my behemton shel tzadikim. We keep talking about that. Even a behemah of tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not maybe takala al yadam. What's the story with the behemah of tzadikim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not maybe takala. Pinchas ben Yair have a cause of Pinyan Shvuyim. So here's the long version of the story. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair was going on his way to do Pinyan Shvuyim, Pagabei b'Ginoi Nahara, and he went into he encountered a river, the Ginoi River. It got in his way, and he didn't have a boat. So how is he going to get through the Ginoi River to go do his mitzvah? So Amalei, he started talking to the river. Ginoi chalukli meimech ve'avarbach. Split. Water has to split so I can pass through. Amalei. So the river said back to him, Ata holeich lasos ritzon koncha ve'ani holeich lasos ritzon koni. Look, you're doing what you do. You're doing your avodas Hashem. I'm doing my avodas Hashem. My avodas Hashem is to be a river. Rivers don't split. I'm just supposed to be here. So ata safek osa safek yatos. And not only that, human history tells us that humans have a job to do avodas Hashem. They don't always do it. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Ani vadayos. Rivers tend to always do the rasan Hashem. So in something most of me devaday, why should you be able to determine that I should stop what I'm doing so that you could do what you're doing? I don't even know if you're going to follow through. You're a human being. I'm going to follow through. Amalei. So he said back to the river, if you don't split, I'm going to make a gzera, and tzadikos HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekayim, I'm going to make a gzera that water should never pass through you ever. So chalaklei. So the river got scared and the river split. Tosus points out a conversation with the river. The river really spoke back to him. What's going on over here? So Tosus says, Amalei atolei klasos son koncha, shemes sar shel yam heshev lokach. That there's an angel that's associated with each creation, and it was a conversation with that tsar. It's not a conversation with the river itself. Rivers don't talk, and nature doesn't talk. So that's not what happened. Inami Reb Pinchas Yimachashim Beliba Shul Kafe Maniach Malach Laklo Ukinin Zet Tzar Kafarish Parakam Demesach Zavod Zar Gabri Lozben Dadai Domer Shemayim Bek Sholei Rachamim. And he said, or Tosus says, maybe this was all going on in Reb Pinchas Ben Yair's head. Meaning, why is it that the river is not splitting for me? I'm trying to do a mitzvah. So it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not making the river split because the river does Avodas Hashem and always does a B'taras Vaday. So this is all in Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair's own head, his own thinking as to why it is that things are playing out the way that they are. And he says, and that's exactly the pshat in the story of Rabbi Lezer ben Drudaya in the beginning of Sechs Avodah Zarah, that he was lo yiniach zonah shabaolah shalom baolah, he was boel every single zonah in the world, and then he had a certain event with one particular zonah that caused him to reassess his life, and he wanted to do tshuva, and he said that the let the mountains ask be mevakish rachamim for me, and let the shemayim v'aretz be mevakish rachamim for me. So what does it mean? He was talking to the shemayim v'aretz and the mountains? No, it was all his thought process that he was trying to, until he got to the point where he realized that there is nothing outside of me, ain't a davar talu yela bi. And then he niach rosha ben merkosav asa tshuva, and yesh kono lama b'sha'achas. That's the Gemara. So Ava who gavred Ava dori chiti lepischa. There was another guy traveling with them who was carrying wheat in order to make matzah for Pesach. This Gemara is quoted in the Avnei Nezer in Or Chaim Simshinayim Beis. Avnei Nezer was asked about a new invention called machine matzos, and he says, you know, I've never seen this machine meolam. He says, but he says the Kutna Rav is correct. That if the previous gedolim were marish olamos and they asserted it because for whatever reason, then we have to stick with that iser. And he says, and I'll tell you something, I don't like this whole idea of matzah bakeries either. He says, I think everyone is supposed to make their own matzah, and that's the only way you could be sure that everything is kosher, that everything is done properly. I think today, if we all tried to make our own matzahs, things would be done a lot less properly. But he says, I think everyone should do it. He says, there are all these halachas in Shulchan Aruch about dinei afias hamatzos, because afias hamatzos is a chashuva thing. A person is supposed to bake their own matzos. So he says, mi zutar mashamru b'medrash bischar shetochnin v'lashnas hamatzos. The medrash goes through the great schar for grinding and for kneading and for all the steps of making the matzos. And he, if I'm not mistaken, he quotes this gemara that it's a great zuchus that a person is going to carry the wheat in order to make the matzah for Pesach. So there was a guy carrying the wheat. So Repitlas Ben Yair was going to pidyon shvuyim. Okay, so the water split for him. Another guy is going to make matzah. Okay, so you know it's not pidyon shvuyim. Amalei chalok leinami lahay de b'mitzvah asik. So Repitlas Ben Yair tells the Rebbe, you got to split for this guy too. He's going to do a mitzvah. Chalok le. Water splits for him. Havut hayad love ba'adayu. There was an Arab merchant that was also traveling with them. Amalei chalok leinami lahay de lalei makach osim lebnei levaya. He says you have to split for him too, because we don't want to get a bad reputation that the rabbis leave the third guy in their party stranded all alone. So chalak leit, split for him too. So Amar Rav Yosef, kaba nafish gavra mimoshe v'shishin riba. Look, what Rav Pinchas Ben Yair did just outdid what Moshe and the shishin riba of Klal Yisrael had at Kriyas Yamsuf. They had one Kriyas Yamsuf, and Pinchas Ben Yair had this river split three times. Says Gemara, whoa, before we start saying that someone is better than Moshe Rabbeinu and all of Klal Yisrael, so maybe Pinchas Ben Yair had the water split and he just had it stay split. He didn't have it actually split on three separate occasions. Ella kim Moshe v'shisun ribon. You're right. This is not a greater act than the Kriyas Yamsuf that was accomplished by Moshe and the Shishim Ribo, but it is the equivalent of the Kriyas Yamsuf. Ikla luhush pizza. So then the story continues. Pinchas Ben Yair gets to his lodging place. Ramalei sari lechamrei lo achel. And they started feeding barley to his donkey, and his donkey would not eat it. Chavtinu. So they figured, oh, it must not be good enough. There must be a problem with the with the barley, so they started sifting it out. They started trying to make it cleaner, and lo achal, the donkey still wouldn't eat it. Nakrinu, they started picking out whatever pebbles or dirt was in the barley by hand. Lo achal, still the donkey wouldn't eat it. Amar lahu, dilma lo ma'asrin. So Pinchas Ben Yair says, I think I might know what the problem is. Did you take maestros from this produce? So asrinu, they hadn't, so they did. Va'achal, now all of a sudden the donkey is eating. Amar ani azu alecha sasos utzon kona. He says, I don't understand. My animal is trying to do the Ratzon Hashem. Its job in this world is to be a donkey, and it's trying to be a good donkey, and you're trying to feed it tevel? How could you feed tevel to something that's trying to do Ratzon Kono? Says the Gemara, Umi Mechaiva, do you have to take maestros from Demai for donkeys? V'atnan halokech l'zera ulebehema. If you buy from an Amah Aretz in order to use as planting seeds, or for behema, v'kemach l'oros, or flour to treat leather. V'shemen l'ner. You can use shemen for a ner. That's our Hanukkah coincidence of the day. V'shemen l'asuch bo'as hakelim. Or you can use shemen to rub onto kelim. Potter me at the Mai. If it's the Mai that he brought from an Amaret. So again, the Mai was something that Rov Amaret's Arma Asr Mehem. It's a Chumma Midrabanan that they made that we have to be Marfish Menat Demai. So there, in all these circumstances, we're not Machmir on Demai. Says Gemara Hasama Yidmar Allah Am Rabbi Yochanan Lashana Lashalachan Mitchila LeBehema. That's only we're not machmir on demai when you're feeding it to a behema. If when you initially purchased it, it was for the purpose of giving it to a behema. Avalachan Mitchila LaAdam VeNimlach LeLeim LeBehema Chayv LaAsur. But if you bought it for a person and then you decided to change your mind and instead use it for a behema, then you're Chayv to take Maisos from it. So the Tosus points out that in the parallel story in Maseches Shkalim and in Maseches Demai and in Yerushalmi and in Bereishis Rabbah, where it tells a little story of Pinchas Ben Yair v'Chamaro, and the Gemara asks the same question, but it was only Demai and for Behemis and Chayiv and Demai. The Gemara doesn't give this answer, that this was initially bought for a human and then it was then they decided instead to use it for Behemah. No, the Gemara just says, yeah, this Chamar had all sorts of Chumras. So this was one of the Chumras that the Chamar of Pinchas Ben Yair had. So this is a unique version of the story. Vatanya says the Gemara, but this Vatanya Rashi points out as Benichusa to highlight the point that we just made. Halokeach peros min hashuk la'achila. If you buy the peros for yourself to eat, you buy it from the shuk, from an amaretz. V'nimlach alein lebehema. And then you change your mind and you want to use it instead for behema. Then you cannot feed it to your behemoth until you take maestros, because initially when you bought it for yourself. Shama Rebbe heard that Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair was traveling, so Nafak Lape, Rebbe Yudah Anasi, came to greet Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair. Amalei Ritzon Chasaudasli, would you be mechabed me by having a su'uda by me? Rebbe invited Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair. Amalei Hein, and Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair accepted the invitation. Salvu Panav Shal Rebbe. Rebbe was very excited that Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair was willing to accept an invitation to his house, because Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair had a reputation that he was not Nen and Mishal Acherim, that he never liked to enjoy from other people's stuff. So it was a big deal for Rebbe that Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair was going to eat by him. So Amalei Kumadum Ata Shemudra Naam Yisrael Ani. He says, by your excitement, it seems that you are under the impression that I have a neder, that I don't get any anah from other people. No, you should know, I don't have any such anaga like that. Yisrael Kedoshim Hain. Yisrael are Kedoshim, and I would love to eat by Jewish people. If Jewish people invite me to their house, I'm very excited to do so. It's just that very often I have to decline, because Yesh Sharotze Ve'Emo, there are some people that would like to host guests, but they simply, they're poor, they don't have enough, and I certainly don't want to take their last bits of bread, their last bits of food, so I can't accept such an invitation. So there are some people that have plenty of money, but aren't really interested in hosting, they just do it, out of etiquette, out of busha, that how could they not invite? So, that's what Tos points out, that there's still Yisrael Kedoshim, because at least they know that etiquette demands that they're supposed to invite, even though deep down they don't really want to invite. Uksiv, al tilcham eslechem ra'ayin. Don't eat the bread of someone who's a ra'ayin, who's not interested in giving it to you, who's a miser. Val titl matamosav ki kamosar benafsho kenu achol v'shasi yomalach v'libo balimach. He's going to say, come and eat with me, but he doesn't really mean it. So I can't accept such an invitation, but v'ata, you, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, I know, rotze v'yesh lecha. You want to host, and you have the means to do so. Mia, he says, however, I have to tell you, hashtem esarivim la demilson mitzvah katerichna, ki adarna asina ayal negabach. Right now I'm in a rush, because right now I'm trying to do a mitzvah, I'm going to do pidyon shvuyim. When I come back, on my return trip, I'll come back to you. So when he came back and he was actually going to go to Rebbe's house, he happened to enter through an entrance of Rebbe's house where he came across white mules. So Amar Malach Hamavis Bebeisul Shalzeh Van Yesar Etzlo. These are dangerous animals. So he said, the Malach Hamavis is in this guy's house. How can I possibly eat at his house if he has the Malach Hamavis? He has these dangerous animals in his house. Shama Rebbe Nafak La'apei. So Rebbe came to greet Rabbi Pinchas ben Yari saw he was coming. And Rabbi said, I see that you're turning me down now and you don't want to eat in the house because of these dangerous animals. I'll sell them. It's worth it for me. I'll sell all of these dangerous animals. You come to eat by me. I'm sorry, but you can't sell them. It's a violation of Lifnever L'Sitin Michshal. As Rashi points out, just like you're not allowed to have dangerous animals, you can't have other people have dangerous animals. And you're not allowed to sell the Be'Megasa to Ovdei Chavim. So even if it wouldn't be Lifnei Iver to sell it to a guy, which is an interesting idea. Why? Because a guy is not mitzuva in being Megadda L'Kel of Rabbi Toch Besov and having dangerous things in his house. Maybe that's why. Because generally there is an Isra of Lifnei Iver by Goyim for those things that a guy is usher in. But even that's not an option, Rashi points out. So Rebbe says, okay, mafkarnaluhu, I'll make it after, I'll let them loose. So Mafsha says, hey, so that's even worse. You're going to cut loose these dangerous animals and there's going to be no shmira on them? That's going to cause even more damage to society. So he says, akarnaluhu, I'll make it that they're not able to kick and they'll still be able to walk around, but I'll do some surgery on the animals to make it that they lose the joints that enable them to kick and do damage. He says, ikatzar balechayim, that can't be pleasant for the animal. That's got to be tzar balechayim. So he says, katilnaluhu, so I'll kill the animals. Ika baltashkes, well, that's going to be baltashkes. Here you're wasting perfectly good animals. So this, the Achronim point out, we see a very important yesod over here. When he says, I'm going to do the surgery on them, tzar balechayim. When he says, I'll kill them, all of a sudden it's not tzar balechayim anymore. Now it's baltashkes. Now the Buda has a famous tshuva where someone asked him if a Jew is allowed to go hunting, if there's an iser for a Jew to hunt. So he discusses whether it's an issue of tzar balechayim, and he writes that harigas balechayim is not the same as tzar balechayim. Tzar balechayim is only if you're leaving the animal alive and you're leaving it to suffer while it remains alive. To kill a balchai is not tzar balechayim. That's a separate thing that wouldn't be included in tzar balechayim. Rabbi Yaakov Emden even goes further. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says tzar balechayim is only by balechayim that are b'nei malacha. Because the Torah brings it, it's specifically when you could be doing malacha with it, and you have to have like a certain amount of hakaras hatov for the malacha that the animal can do, that's going to be a violation of tzar balechayim. But otherwise, it would not be tzar balechayim. Anyway, the Navi is not a big fan of the idea of hunting. He says, you have to look at who the biblical characters are that were engaged in such pursuits. It's Esav, it's Nimrod. This is not a Jewish thing to do. So it's not something that we we're interested in doing. So he tells him you can't. There's no way you could satisfy me. Have a kamekadesh beituva. He was pleading with him. He was begging him. Gavatura benayu. And as he was begging him, a mountain springs up between Rebbe and Rebbe Pinchas ben Yair. So he can't talk to him anymore. So bacha Rebbe va'amar. Rebbe cries out and he says, "Ma b'chayein kach b'misas na'achas kama v'kama." Look at the miracles that happen for Rebbe Pinchas ben Yair when he's alive. Can you imagine how special he is? What a tzaddik he's going to be in his death. Tzaddikim are considered even greater in their death than they are during their lifetime. Shnemar vayim kovrim ish v'neiroas hagdud. There was a man that they just threw into the Kever Elisha. The man's dead body touched the bones of Elisha. And he came back to life and he stood up on his feet to remove himself from Elisha. Now, when Elisha, that's even greater than what Elisha was able to accomplish when he was alive. Well, why is that greater? When he was alive, he was also able to be B'chayim Esim. Yeah, but it was a whole process. When he was alive, he had to put his face on the guy's face and his hands on his hands, and he had to do this whole thing in order to. Now, just they touch the bones of Elisha, and right away the guy gets up. Maybe that was in order to be Mekayim, the bracha of Eliyahu. How do you know that's an indication of Elisha's zuchus, that when he died, he was considered a great tzaddik when he was alive? Maybe that was Eliyahu's zuchus, that it was to fulfill the bracha of Eliyahu, who said that you're going to get double what I have. No, the Braisa says that the pasuk tells us that yes, he got up on his feet, but he didn't go all the way back home. So that was clearly for Elisha, so that this person wouldn't be buried next to him, because there's a halacha Rasha, that you're not supposed to bury a tzaddik etzel Rasha, or a Rasha etzel tzaddik. El b'ma'a kayim, so what taka was the fulfillment of Eliyahu Hanavi's promise that Elisha would get double? K'dam Rabbi Yochanan, shirip etzaras Naaman, shu shkula kemes, that Elisha was able to be merapid the tzaras of Naaman, who is shkula kemes. Remember, alma tihi kemes. The post can bring a raya from the story of Elisha that once, let's say you already have done it, you've buried a Rasha etzel tzaddik. So now are you supposed to move the Rasha from the, move him away from the tzaddik? So in the Tshuva's Prisada, he says no. He says, because if that were the halacha, then you wouldn't need a miracle over here. Ultimately, they would realize there's a Rasha next to Elisha and they would move him away. It's chibut kever is mechaper for him. So by the time he's already buried next to the tzaddik, then he too has become a tzaddik. So you wouldn't move him away necessarily. That's why this miracle was necessary. Amar b'shem levi, lama nikra shman yamim? Why are these mules called yamim? She'imasim l'talas al abrios, because people are terrified of them. He says, I've never seen a person survive a strike from such a mule. He says, we see it all the time. No, it means not that I've never seen a person survive, but I've never seen the wound get better. We see that all the time also. Now I'm talking about where the top of its feet are also whitened, meaning it's a different type of mule that I'm talking about where it never gets better. Ain't old milvado, but a person has to realize that Kodesh Baruch Hu is in control of everything. Amar Rabbi Chanin v'afilu kshafim. Even if a person is subject to kishuf, to a spell that's cast on him, Hakadosh Baruch Hu could save one from that. There was a woman that was taking dirt from underneath Rabbi Chanina's feet in order to cast a kishuf spell on him. He says you can do whatever you want. It's not going to help because ain't old milvado. But I thought Kishuv has the ability to contradict whatever is going to be up in Shemayim. Shiny Rabbi Chanina, then Fish is Zuchuse. Not against Rabbi Chanina, because Rabbi Chanina has remarkable Zuchuyos, so no Kishuv is going to affect him. Ain't on Levada, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up with Vam Rabbi Chanina tomorrow.